ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه بعد My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the last khutbah, inshallah, we finish it today, which is the biggest sign of Islam is brotherhood. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ummah, this brotherhood, as one ummah. And he associated himself with this ummah and he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعَبُدُونَ And in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ The first relates to our aqidah on Tawheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship, and we are Muslims because we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one relates to our amal. What is Because we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only is worthy of worship, so what? And the answer to the so what is, so we try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only without any shirk in that pleasing. We are not trying to please anyone else, not people, not authorities, not anybody, but try to please only Allah. The desire to please only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our lives, Because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than we love anybody else, this is the definition of taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are one ummah because you believe in tawheed, because you worship only me without partners, and you are one ummah because you try only to please me without including anyone else in that desire to please. One relates to our belief which is internal, the other one relates to our behavior which is external. One relates to our relationship with ourselves, the other one relates to our relationship with our brothers and sisters, both in Islam as well as our brothers and sisters in humanity, and also to everyone who inhabits this earth where we live. And all of this, the connecting link of all this is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is our Rabb, and we accept and we believe this. I mentioned to you also the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hold together to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together and do not create differences amongst yourselves. Do not create tafriqat. Allah did not say, لا تختلفوا Allah did not say do not have differences of opinion. Allah did not say don't disagree. Allah said do not split apart. So disagreement, having a difference of opinion, having a different understanding for the same thing is a sign of commitment, is a sign of intelligence, and it is entirely desirable and acceptable and permissible in Islam. But to use this difference of opinion as a means of condemning another person who does not share our opinion, as a means of driving people apart, as a means of forming cliques and groups and gangs, this is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this, and therefore pronouncing takfir is of course a very serious thing, but even criticizing somebody, looking down on somebody, backbiting, all of these are haram. So let us stay away, far away from that. Having said that, I explained to you and I gave you the examples, and I'm just touching them in brief because you can go back to last khutbah, which is on the on our site, and listen to that in detail. I gave you examples of where the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in differed in their opinion and understanding and ijtihad about matters which were the most important matters of deen, matters of ibadah. The difference of opinion among the Sahaba about where to pray Asr after the Battle of Khandaq, the difference of opinion between the Sahaba when Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu criticized Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu because of what about the cloth that he was wearing, and the very serious difference of opinion which actually led to a war between the group which was led by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and the group which was led by Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Despite such serious differences of opinion, The Sahaba never criticized one another. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha lived for many years after that, and so did Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Not a single instance is there where anybody from anywhere in the world can show me a reference where Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha criticized Ali bin Abi Talib, or Ali bin Abi Talib criticized Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu majmain. So even where there were difference of opinion, the hearts remained together. The Sahaba remained brothers and sisters to one another. They did not disrespect one another. They did not lambaste and malign one another. They did not print pamphlets and distribute newspaper articles about one another. They did not bad talk one another, either in public or in private. And that is the standard of behavior that they left behind for us to follow. What was the result of that standard of behavior? It was the result was a brotherhood the like of which the world hasn't seen since. And that's a tragedy. That's an absolute tragedy. It's nothing unique. It's nothing to feel happy about, that the Sahaba were unique. We want the Sahaba's example to become the most common example till the day of judgment. We do not want the example of the Sahaba to remain unique. Please understand this. There's nothing great about that. If you say they are the only people, why are they the only people? Because we are still human. We still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still believe in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We still believe in the Quran al-Kareem. What has changed? And therefore we need to bring ourselves back on the standard that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain set for us. Now, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah said, and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not dispute with one another, meaning don't form cliques and gangs and groups, and don't divide amongst yourselves, lest you lose courage and your strength departs, and have sabr. Do the maximum that you can do with patience, and then wait for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are as-sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to resolve our differences. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that to resolve differences is better than nafil ibadah. And I'll give you some examples of how the Sahaba did this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about this. Allah said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. It's a conditional ayah. Allah is saying, if you are believers, what must you do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Anfal again, Allah says, fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reconcile all matters of difference amongst yourselves, and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you are believers. What does it mean if we don't follow this? What does this mean if we do not follow this? What does it mean if we bear grudges against one another? It's an absolutely shameful thing. If you look at the probably every grudge, if not I'm saying the majority, but probably even this is true for all of them. Whoever you have something bad about in your heart, look in your heart and see the only thing that was hurt was your ego. Nothing else. You imagine that you were worthy of all this great respect which the other person didn't give you, and so now you feel bad about the person and you are going around bad talking that person and donating your good deeds. Good for the person, definitely not good for you. So please, let us change ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited secret meetings and talking to each other, excluding others who may be present. This is a big problem with our ummah. You have a few Arabs together, they will talk Arabic as if that is the global language. Everyone in the world understands Arabic. They don't. Sorry about that. People who speak Urdu do exactly the same thing. They start chattering in Urdu. You have no clue. There are people who are sitting with you who cannot speak Urdu. You don't care. Same thing with English. People who speak English, many of us, we do this all the time. May Allah forgive us. Our elderly parents and grandparents and so on in this country, they do not speak English. There is absolutely no problem with not speaking English. But we talk to each other in English in their presence. This is gross disrespect. Rasulullah ﷺ prohibited this. Nabi ﷺ said, do not speak in a language which even one person cannot understand. because it produces suspicion. So take the trouble to do that. I mean, take the trouble at least to translate. At least to translate. Sometimes, you know, when you are, especially if you are in a jovial mood and you are maybe reciting some poetry or you are telling a joke or something, it doesn't sound funny in a different language. I mean, a joke is a joke only in a particular language. So you tell the joke, but translate the joke. Ruin the joke, no problem, but translate it, right? Don't make the other person start wondering what are they saying, especially with jokes, because now what happens, you tell a joke, everybody laughs, that's the only person not laughing. Shaitan puts in their heart, you know, they are laughing at you. So the people think, oh my God, they are laughing at me. Why are they laughing at me? You are not laughing at them at all. You are laughing at a joke which has nothing to do with them. But because the way you said it and the atmosphere, it creates suspicion in the hearts of people. Don't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this issue of secret meetings. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ النَّجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِسْلَاهٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ فَسَوْفَ نُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَزِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no good, there is no khair, there is no good in most of the secret talks except in him who orders sadaqah, charity in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something ma'roof, which is all good, or for the sake of conciliation between people. And he or she who does this, seeking the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will give them a great reward. Meaning, people who meet only to resolve differences and so on, but not having secret meetings, politicking and trying to create problems for other people. Rasulullah ﷺ, as I mentioned before, told us that reconciling between people is better than voluntary fasting or voluntary salah, meaning for nafil fast and nafil salah, reconciling people is better than that. And he said it is better even than voluntary charity, which means other than the fasting of Ramadan, other than the fard salah, other than zakat, every other ibadah is less beneficial than reconciling the differences between our brothers and sisters. Ibn Umar radhiyallahu anhuma was sitting in Etakaf once in Masjid al-Nabawi, and a man came and he saw him. He said, oh my God, you are here. So Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar said, what's wrong with being here? He said, no, nothing wrong with being here, but I came to you because there was an issue in which I needed your help. I wanted you to come and talk to somebody on my behalf, but now you are in Etakaf. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, there's no problem, I'll come. The man said, you will break your Etakaf? He said, yes. He said, how can you break your Etakaf? He said, because Rasulullah ﷺ said it is superior. The superior action is to reconcile the differences between brothers, and this is superior even to Nafil Etikaf. And there is no Fard Etikaf. You have the Sunnah Etikaf of Ramadan and Nafil Etikaf. So, Sayyidina Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, one of the favorite students of Rasulullah, one of the greatest ulama of this Ummah, he says to break the Etikaf is superior, is less problematic. And it is permissible and it is acceptable if you are doing that in order to reconcile the differences between brothers and sisters. It was narrated that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah said, shall I not tell you something that is better than the status of nafil fasting, nafil salah, and nafil charity? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell us. He said, reconciling in a case of discord, for the evil of discord is the shiva. At-Tirmidhi said, it was narrated that Rasulullah ﷺ said, it is the shaver. I do not say that it shaves hair, but it shaves or destroys religious commitment. What destroys religious commitment? Differences between people. And this is a Sahih Hadith in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. It was narrated from Umm Kulthum bin Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth radiallahu anha, that she heard Rasulullah saying, he is not a liar who seeks to reconcile between people and says good things. This is a Sahih Hadith in Bukhari. The only place where you are permitted to tell a lie is where it concerns reconciling between people. For example, if somebody says, no, I don't want to talk to him, he hates me. So no, he doesn't hate you, he likes you. He told me that. Now that's not true, but you are saying that to at least get the person be willing to talk to the other person. So in such a case, and that's the only case, there's no other case in which telling lies is permissible. It was narrated that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not hate one another, do not envy one another, do not turn away from one another, be, O slaves of Allah, brothers. It is not permissible for a Muslim to leave his brother, not to talk to his brother, forsake his brother for more than 3 days. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Tell me, how many of us don't know this hadith? Huh? Issue is not knowing. I told you, I've said this many times before, I remind myself and you, what we know and we don't follow becomes a hujjat against ourselves on the day of judgment. It was narrated that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that it is not permissible for a Muslim to forsake his brother for more than 3 days, each of them turning away when they meet. The better of them is the one who gives the greeting of salam first. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Have no shame, say salam alaikum, let the other person walk away. That is proof against him in your favor. But don't look through somebody, don't turn away because you have some imaginary difference of opinion, or you don't like the person, or whatever difference happened. Be the first one to say salam, and if the other person doesn't respond, no problem. It was narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallam said, the gates of Jannah are opened on Mondays and Thursdays, and everyone who does not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiven, except a man who had an argument with his brother. And about that person it is said, wait for these two until they reconcile. Wait for these two until they reconcile. Wait for these two until they reconcile. And this is in Muslim. Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi said, wait for these two, about this hadith, his commentary, he says, wait for these two means, wait until they have reconciled and love has been restored between them. Let our differences with our brothers and sisters not be the reason for our delay in entering Jannah. Don't do that to yourself. It was narrated from Abu Kharash as-Sulam, As-Sulami radiallahu anhu, who said that he heard Rasulullah saying, whoever forsakes his brother for a year, it is as if he has killed him. Whoever forsakes his brother for a year, it is as if he has shed his blood. And this is in Abu Dawud, and it is it's a Sahih hadith as classified by Shaykh Al-Albani in Sahih Al-Targhib. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness that this is a cancer that is eating us from within. A cancer that we know the cure for, but do not apply. What is that cure? The cure is forgiveness. The cure is forgiveness. Returning evil with good. Responding, not reacting. Acting intelligently, not reflexively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ ادفع بالتي هي احسن فاذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوه كانه ولي حميم وما يلقاها الا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها الا ذو حظ عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the good deed and the evil deed cannot be equal. Repel, ادفع بالتي, repel the evil deed with one which is ahsan, which is much better than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be faithful in times of anger, to be patient in times of anger, and to excuse those who treat them badly. And then Allah said, and verily, what will happen if you return this evil deed with a good deed? Itfa billati hiya ahsan, what is the result of that? Allah said, then verily, the person between you and that person was enmity, that person will become as a close friend. Waliyun Hamim. Wali itself means a very close friend. Waliyun Hamim, he will become your dear friend. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a warning there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah said, but none is granted this quality except those who are sabirin, who have sabr, and except those who are the owners of the great portion, meaning people who are the owners of Jannah, inshallah. So if you are able to do that, this is a sign of Jannah. Rasulullah said, the one who does not respond angrily to something which causes anger, meaning the person has, somebody has insulted you, somebody has done something wrong, you have a right to retaliate, you have a right to to express your anger. But he said, if you don't do that, he said, I guarantee that person a palace in the middle of Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you do not, despite being justified in taking from your brother, if you do not take it, I guarantee you a palace in the middle of Jannah. And that's why I always keep saying, what is the business that all Muslims should be in? Real estate development. Absolutely. Yeah? Real estate in Jannah. Every Muslim. People ask you, what do you do? I do real estate development. How do you do that? Curse me and see. I got a palace in Jannah. Curse me some more. Yeah? Seriously. Let us develop this. This is a sign of confidence. Not to retaliate is a sign of confidence. Because the only person who retaliates is who really believes that what the other person is saying is true about himself. If somebody calls me a donkey, then the only way I will react is if I am really a donkey, or I have got doubt, am I a donkey or not a donkey? So I carry around, thanks to the phones, you have Google with you all the time. So I download a picture of a donkey and say, I put it like this and says, look at this. Do I look like that? Why should I be angry? Maybe the man never saw a donkey. Maybe he loves donkeys. He's saying, you are a donkey as a matter of great love for me. Yeah? Because he loves donkeys. Who knows? Allah Allah. So seriously, develop a sense of humor. It's a fatal disease not to have a sense of humor. You know, learn to laugh. Laughing is not haram in Islam. And what drives people crazy is if you laugh. So the more they curse you, the more you laugh, the more crazy they become, which is good, no? So seriously, do not fall into this trap of differences of opinion, getting angry, egos. So what must you do? As we say, everything, action plan. What is the action plan? Four qualities. Number one, how will you develop forgiveness? Top line, forgiveness. How do you do that? Number one, humility. Developing humility, tawadeh. Remember that you are not receiving wahi, and I am not receiving wahi. Nobody has an absolute hold on the truth. So apply the principle of the Sharia, and the principle of the Sharia of all the Imams of the Summa. What is that principle? I am right with the possibility of being wrong. And my brother, meaning the person with the opposite opinion, is mistaken with the possibility of being right. So we listen with an open mind to whatever argument our brother may offer, while remaining firm on our own position. If, however, the other person gives us evidence to change our position, then we must be prepared to do so. There is an absolutely beautiful narration of the meeting between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. The meeting between Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi in Mina after Hajj, and it was witnessed and recorded by Al-Layth, who was another great alim of the time. And when you have the time, go read it up. Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik had major differences of opinion on matters of fiqh. And they discussed and so on and so forth. And I obviously, we don't have time for me to narrate that whole story, but what I will tell you is the final bottom line of the story. When somebody asked Allah, they said, what was your opinion of that? He said, after the meeting was over and after the discussion was over, dialogue was over, he said, I went to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah and I said, what is your opinion about Imam Malik? He said, my opinion about Imam Malik is, I have never seen a man so focused on the truth. I have never seen a man who has such a genuine desire to understand the truth. And I have never seen a man who is so willing to change his opinion if he sees some value in what is being said to him. Who is he saying this about? The man who was against him, his opinion in so many ways. Then Allah went to Imam Malik and he asked him, what is your opinion about Imam Abu Hanifa? He said, wallahi, I've never seen a man who is so profound in logic. He said, if you have a piece of iron in your hand, he can convince you that it's a piece of gold. He said, that is the level of his intellect, and that is the level of his reasoning. Right? So difference of opinion is not uncommon. It has been there throughout, and alhamdulillah, this is a rahmah for this ummah. What is unique is the way we do it in these times, and that is something that really needs to be changed. So the first one is humility. Always ask yourself, am I getting wahi? What am I so hot about? What am I so rigid about? Number two, the importance of listening. Listen to understand, not listen to reply. That's what most of us do. We listen in order to retort. So listen to understand. Active listener, first understand, then answer. Without understanding, your answers can't be relevant anyway. But all too often we are caught up with answering, scoring points, being one up on the other, and we lose sight of the substance of the discussion or substance of the argument. Active listening consists of first telling the person what you understood. Not repeating the words, but telling them what you understood. I understand you to be saying this. Is it correct? And then if the person says, yes, that is correct, then you proceed. If the person says, that's not correct, then you don't argue with the person. You say, please tell me, what did you say? Let me try and understand. It's absolutely critical for us to try to understand what somebody says before we respond, because otherwise our response cannot be correct in any case. Number three is objectivity. Separate the argument from the person. Remember that you are trying to solve a problem, or to understand a matter, or to come to a common agreement. You are not in a prize fight trying to knock out the other person. So it's not you versus him, but you and him versus the issue. The other person with a different opinion is not your opponent, he is your partner in trying to resolve the issue which is of interest to both of you. If the issue is not of interest, why are you in that place in the first place? Go walk away. You are there because you are interested. The other person is there because he is interested. What is the goal? So remind yourself, what is my goal? Is my goal to put him down, or is my goal to arrive at a conclusion which is mutually acceptable to both of us? You are the partner of the other person who has a difference of opinion with you. You are not the opponent of that person. It is not me versus you. It is me and you versus the problem or the issue. So always maintain decorum, maintain dignity, maintain manners, maintain adab, and maintain consideration for others. Always remind yourself and others in that dialogue, whoever they are, to be objective, to arrive at a solution, to find an answer, not to win over anybody. Anger has absolutely no place in dialogue. If you find yourself getting angry, get up and leave, take a cold shower and come back. Don't sit there while you are angry. It is possible you get angry, but Allah gave you two legs. Use them. And the last one, four, is forgiveness. Finally, and most importantly, it is essential in building brotherhood to forgive one another. My brothers and sisters, I simply ask yourself this question: do I need the forgiveness of Allah? If the answer is no, no problem, don't forgive other people. If the answer is yes, then forgive other people. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said very clearly, the one who forgives in this world, Allah will forgive him in the next world. So, up to you and up to me, what we want to do. Carrying on grudges, especially imaginary injuries to our inflated egos, that is the main cause of hatred for one another, is injurious not only to our own health, but also to our akhirah. It ensures that we give our good deeds to the other person we hate, because we end up slandering and backbiting them, and we carry that hatred in our hearts, which is a fire that can't be quenched except by ourselves, and which burns nobody except ourselves. It's like carrying a live coal in your hand. It burns only you. The other person does not even know that you are carrying this coal in your hand. He does not know that you hate him, and believe me, he doesn't care two hoots whether you hate him or not. So forgive each other and don't carry grudges. And say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, I forgive him, so please forgive me. My submission to you is, there can never be a brotherhood without forgiveness, because there is nobody who does not make a mistake. There is nobody who will not say anything wrong. There is nobody who will not offend you knowingly or unknowingly. And if you hold grudges and if you don't forgive, there can be no brotherhood. There can be no marriages. And that's one of the major reasons why marriages break up, because we like to stockpile all the garbage that we collect in our marriage. So don't be a professional garbage collector, right? Don't be a garbage collector. It stinks and only you can smell it. So don't do that to yourself. I want to end with the famous story of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, which all of us know, but reminders are good for us. Rasulullah ﷺ was sitting in the masjid one day with some sahaba with him, and he said, a man is about to enter who is from among the people of Jannah. And Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu entered. Then Rasulullah ﷺ, next day, he was still sitting in the masjid, and he was with some people, and he said the same thing. He said, a man is about to enter and he is from among the people of Jannah. And Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas entered radiallahu anhu. And the third day the same thing happened. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who was among the people who were there, he decided to go and find out what is this thing that Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas does radiallahu anhu, as a result of which he was given this bashara of Jannah, not once but three times by Rasulullah. So he went, he didn't tell him anything, and Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu didn't know this, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to other people and then he came and went away. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went to Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu and he said, I would like to be your guest. And this is from the akhlaq of the Muslims, that if a Muslim comes to you and he says, I would like to be your guest, then we offer him our hospitality. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the brother has a right on you for 3 days. So Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, stayed in the house of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, he said to him, he told him the story. He said to him that this is what happened, and that's the reason I requested to come and stay in your house. But he said, I've got an issue, and my issue is that I observed you from morning till night for 3 days, and I did not see you doing anything unusual. I mean, you did what all of us do. Meaning that he would have got up for tahajjud, he would have prayed, he would have recited Quran, do zikr, fard salawat, whatever, right? He said, I did not see you doing anything unusual. So why did Rasulullah ﷺ give this bashara to you of Jannah, and that too also 3 times? So what did I miss? Is it something you did secretly which I didn't see? So Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, there is the reason you missed it is because there's something that I did that you could not possibly have seen. He said, what is that? He said, every night before I go to sleep, I settle my accounts. He said, what's the meaning of that? He said, every night before I go to sleep, I forgive everyone who wronged me that day. He said, I don't carry anything with me. And he said, during the day, if I have wronged somebody and I remember that, I go and apologize to that person. I make sure my account with that person is clear. And in the night before I go to bed, I forgive everyone who ever did anything wrong to me before I go to sleep. And he said, that is something I do internally. Obviously, you couldn't have seen it. But maybe this is the reason why Rasulullah ﷺ gave this bashara of Jannah. Forgiving each other, my brothers and sisters, is so important. So I want to be the first one to ask your forgiveness. And I know for a fact that I've done plenty that needs forgiveness. So please forgive me. Why are you silent? You don't want to forgive me? So Jazakumullahu khairan wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.